Our vision is that Girls Brigade Northern Ireland will be recognised as a dynamic, relevant, Christ-centred organisation effectively reaching out to all girls to value, nurture and equip them for life. I really hope you enjoy listening to this episode.
Good morning and welcome back to the Girls Brigade Northern Ireland podcast. Today we have Jean and Gail from the Ulster Scots Agency.
Would you just like to say a wee bit about yourselves and the Ulster Scots Agency?
Yes, my name is Jean Barr. Thanks for inviting us along today. And I work as an education officer within the Ulster Scots and been delighted to work along with GBNI developing resources for the girls. A lot of the work that we do is trying to educate the girls on, trying to educate anybody on Ulster Scots and trying to raise awareness.
I'm Gail McCulloch. I am a marketing and events officer at the Ulster Scots Agency. I have been a part of the Girls Brigade growing up and right through from a Gator Brooch. So it's been great to work with the Girls Brigade again and provide resources, vital resources to help educate on the Ulster Scots.
Well, thank you very much for your intro there. Yes, we produced with yourselves three booklets, two workbooks, one for the explorers and one for juniors. And then we had some resources for under fives in the leaders resource, which also has senior brigader resources in it too. So I learned a lot too, actually, from designing and pulling together the documents that you sent over. So Ulster Scots approached Girls Brigade to produce some resources to go out to the girls. Why did you feel it was an idea to approach Girls Brigade?
But the agency was set up in 1998 as part of the Good Friday Agreement. So it's been around for a long time, but we've never really tapped into the uniform organisations within Northern Ireland. So, or within Ulster, we're a cross-border body. So we contacted the girls, the Girl Guides, the Scouts, the GB and the BB. And I had to say, Girls Brigade was first to get their resources out. So it was just to try and get into, there's a whole bunch, obviously there's, between the various organisations, there's thousands of young people then across Northern Ireland and then into the border counties. So there was great potential there for us. And then within the Girls Brigade, then it was trying to then get something that would easily introduce the girls to Ulster Scots. Like there's your basic introduction through the book. You know, it's not too heavy. It's not as, you know, it's sort of a big history lesson on the history of Ulster Scots. So it's trying to get at an introductory level to raise awareness and then hopefully stimulate interest. And then maybe some of the GB companies then will contact us looking to do more in-depth projects, which would be great.
Yeah, so at the moment we have 36 companies that have engaged on the programme, and that's totaling around 1,600 packs that have gone out. So we're going to have a video hopefully produced in the near future to help promote for yourselves.
Well, that's fantastic and that's great for us. You know, within just a couple of weeks that demand has been so high, and it's good that it's across Northern Ireland because a lot of people associate Ulster Scots as being rural. And while there are links into agriculture, we do a lot of work in urban areas too, and it's a lot of it is about raising awareness and trying, we reach out across all communities and trying to engage with everybody. And that's what I quite like about the resource. There's different things there for to engage different people, whether they're interested in cookery, language, dance, music. You know, and on the, a lot of people think Ulster Scots is just about language, but that's kind of how we're portrayed within the media. Now, we do have programmes and there is language within the resource, which is great, but a lot of it will be applicable to everybody throughout Ulster or Northern Ireland in that it's an introduction to the language and it's all about raising awareness. Like, for example, I come from the middle of County Down. I don't really live in what we term as a native speaking area, whereas Gail here does. And, you know, so some of the GBs out around your way would probably be more interested in the language.
Yes, so sort of for my area, I would be Cronalbona, if anybody knows where that is, but it's complete middle of nowhere. But in my area, I've been brought up speaking Ulster Scots, and I suppose to me it was second nature. But to a lot of other people, they don't even realise that they could be using Ulster Scots, and I suppose that's what we're trying to do, is to raise awareness that it really is in our everyday vocabulary. It's all around us, and that's why the resources are so important. I think that what can put some people off taking up Ulster Scots is because they don't have the knowledge there. And that's why these resources are so important to get out to the companies. And really, it does bring awareness to how it has influenced our culture, our heritage, and our language as well.
So, Gail, you spoke about there you grew up speaking Ulster Scots. Can you give us some examples of some of the words that you used or some of the language you used?
Yeah, well, for example, I, everybody uses I, or everything in Northern Ireland's we, and these are all Ulster Scots words. Other ones including teeming, to rain, foundered, to be cold. So yeah, there's plenty of words out there. Crack is another one that we use very often, and I suppose it's bringing awareness to actually where that comes from, and that is Ulster Scots, and people don't even realise that they're speaking it.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is on the raising awareness. I have to say, I was at university before I knew Oxters wasn't English. I thought they were called Oxters. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the word. And I was in the agency, so I was in my 30s before I knew stave wasn't English. I thought stave was what you'd under your finger, as in a spraying. It was actually somebody who contacted me and said, "Is this Ulster Scots?" And I thought that was English. So there's a lot of words all in our vocabulary. And it's just recognising them and trying to raise awareness. You know, there's more obvious ones, like when it was wee, my dad would have said, you know, he would have said, "Always how you're wished," you know, when he knew that wasn't English. But as you get more involved in Ulster Scots, then you realise that there's loads of words like that probably are better in Ulster Scots. Like the word "sleekit," I always think is a better description, you know, a better describing word. To stand for "nenced," I think that's a lovely word. You know, you're looking confused. It's like, what does
that, yeah, on that one, yeah, what?
Well, for "nenced" would, like, I'm sitting for "nenced" you now.
Okay, oh, right, okay.
So, There's a lot of words that are, I think they're probably sometimes more interesting, and but they're used, and well, apart from you looking confused and pronounced, a lot of people will know what they mean. You know, when I was younger, again, my dad would have said, "Away and clean that huckster of a room of yours."
Okay, you know, yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a lot more, I think, a lot more descriptive, and it's a lot more colourful quite often when you put Ulster Scots in.
Yeah, my mum would have said, "How your wish," so yes, it is actually embedded a lot more than what I thought. Like, I thought it was definitely very set apart. So obviously there's a lot more to Ulster Scots than just the language.
Yeah, well, that's what's great about the resources, in that it's, you know, covers everything then. So we've got the culture, where's the music and the dance, and there's the food, but there's a lot more elements into it. You know, like I was talked about when we're, people think about us being rural. So there's agricultural links, there's town planning links to how, whenever the Ulster Scots people came then from, how the Scottish had came from Scotland over here and then settled, and then how they developed towns. You know, there's a massive element to how we live today is then shaped and developed by Ulster Scots. And then there's a bit touched on the book touch as well then about some of the legacy that they've done. So we've got some of the famous people who have made life-changing inventions. So you know, the facts of the defibrillator, Professor Pantridge, it was saving lives around the world. He was an Ulster Scot, lived outside Hillsborough. But there's a massive background to Ulster Scots, and particularly then, it'd be good then to get the young girls then to just look a wee bit about their culture. So, you know, whether they do a bit of country dancing. I have to say, I done country dancing in a GB display many years ago, and dear love, the teacher, she came on the display night and we didn't exactly do her proud, but we had a go at it and we really enjoyed it, and we all remember it actually. We every now and again, I'm still friends with a lot of the girls in from GB when I was younger, and they all still remember the time we done the Scottish country dancing. We all enjoyed it. So whether the girls didn't have a go with that, it's good crack, and you can do a bit of a ceilidh, have a wee bit of a Scottish-themed party. The Highland dancing is a wee bit more difficult to learn for, to get ready for a display piece, but again, it can be done. And then there's all the musical elements to it. You know, a lot of people think it's just all bagpipes. It's not. There's a wee bit more to it as well.
Yeah, so as Jane was saying, it's not just about the bagpipes, but again, it's something that the girls can pick up and really getting an interest there. They can easily pick up a few tunes and be able to display them at a GB display. And also then there's a lot of other music involved, drum, fiddle, fife, accordion. There's a lot of connections there, not just the piping, which is probably traditionally what Ulster Scots would be connected to. But then we also have the likes of our food that is also influenced by Ulster Scots, our likes of our soda farls, potato fudge, slims. There's a lot there, shortbread that really comes from that, and stuff that the girls can really get involved in and enjoy baking and cooking with everyone in the company.
Within the resource, there is such a fantastic wide range of activities, and to be honest, I'm delighted with the resource, and I think you have done a fantastic job. It's very user friendly, and it covers such a broad spectrum of activities and such a wide range of ideas. You know, it's to me, I was a GB officer for quite a few years, and I would have loved this resource, particularly if you're, should I say, maybe not just the best planned and running late home from work. You could just pick up the resource and you knew that everything was going to be in that pack for you, and that the girls were going to have a good night and, you know, a bit of fun learning, because that's what I like about it as well. You know, it's done in, it's just presented in a lovely way, and the information is so user friendly for both the girls and the leader. You know, you can just pick it up and run with it. And as we talked about, you know, there's got loads of ideas sort of over such a broad spectrum. But again, if anybody wants to look at something in more detail, you know, like there's touch on it and like the food and some of the culture. So if anybody wants to then have a more detailed look at something, like say they wanted to run a ceilidh within their GB company, then get in touch with us and we can signpost you to get some support, or we can see then about calling out ourselves. You know, we've had a couple of contacts from companies already looking us to help call out and go through maybe something in more detail with the girls about some aspect that's covered in the book. And that's fantastic, and we're delighted to be able to do that.
Yeah, as an agency, like, we are here to help and support as well. And from starting with this resource, and as Gina said, if you wanted to go into more detail, we are there. And maybe it might be something more specific to your area that would really relate to the girls in the company. So yeah, we're definitely there to help any way possible and really help raise more awareness for Ulster Scots.
I do know that our membership do love a good themed night, so it's all there in the packs. And if anyone does want to get in contact with yourselves about doing a more in-depth look, how do our membership go about that?
Yes, yeah, so you can find us on social media or on our website, or give us a ring on 028 90231113. We also have our email as well, info@theulsterscotsagency.org.uk. Make sure that if you do take part in any activities that have been in these resources, to please do share them with us. We would really love and appreciate to see what the companies have got up to, or tag us on social media as well, Ulster Scots Agency.
As we come to the end of the podcast, I just want to say a big thank you to Gail and Jane for coming down to GBHQ to chat to us about the resource and how we've collaborated together.
No, thank you very much for the invitation. It's been lovely to be working with you, and it's such a great resource. And again, I'd just like to congratulate you on developing it, and hopefully moving onwards and upwards.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us down, and it definitely is a good resource, and please do reach out, and we're here to support you any way we can.
If you would like a copy of the workbooks for your GB company, please contact Emma via her email address program@gbni.co.uk, or give us a call on 028 94 54 8054.
Thank you for listening to this episode. We would love it if you could share this podcast with others. If you would like to find out more about GB, check out our website, gbni.co.uk. You can also keep up to date with us by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.